Jim Brown here with another CaperCast. Welcome, and I apologize for missing last week. There are no excuses, just reasons, like I will never again try to travel by Amtrak during Thanksgiving week. We all had a great time down at the Cedar Key small boat gathering. I had a lot of delays getting home. But last week was the first one I've missed in over a year's worth of these capers. So there's quite a bookshelf here for anyone to enjoy any time. For this time, I have another of those Sterncastle conversations for you, this time with my particular friend Bruce Matlack. Yes, Bruce is the guy that now owns Scrimshaw, and the news is that Scrimshaw is fixed. She is well repaired and ready to go again, thanks to a guy named Jeff Goff, who is a very skilled boat builder with a lot of cruising experience with his family, and he now makes his living primarily as a rigger in the St. Augustine area. He doesn't often do repair work nowadays, but he came to fix Scrimshaw because she was Scrimshaw. That just pleased me tremendously. Thank you, Jeff. Before Jeff came down to work on Scrimshaw, I had a chance to do a repair assessment mission, so I was able to hang out with Bruce for a few days at the boatyard down there in Central Florida where she was damaged by the hurricane. And one night after a hot day in the sun, Bruce and I were hanging out in his little motor home, and I'd been hearing about his youthful exploits for a few years and wanted to share a few of them with you. For instance, I've been so disappointed that I don't have more voice recordings of people like Joe Hudson and Meade Goujon. So when listening to Bruce's story, remember that he started out as a world champion windsurfer in his youth, and they ended up in a windrider and in Scrimshaw. So here we go. Our conversation starts like this.
So it's okay with you if I play this when you're dead.
Yeah, you just told me about Joe Hudson. Yeah. You wish you had more recordings. Well, I'm going to give you a snootful.
Okay.
So this is when I was 23 in the Panama Canal Zone, and I was going from coast to coast on the little old train, the little bitty narrow gauge railway, because you could ride it for free or 50 cents or something.
Yeah.
So I would live on that. I mean, I'd sleep on that, you know. I mean, it took forever to get to one end to the other, you know. So I had a friend there, befriended a French guy who was headed to Tahiti on a twin keel, caravel planked, 36-foot African mahogany, beautiful yacht that he had spent his life building. But he was, like a lot of people in Panama, out of money. Yeah. And he'd gotten through the canal, and he's in Balboa, and he wants to go to Tahiti, he wants to get to Tahiti, sail around the world, you know, the old story. And he has $35 or something, I mean, no food. So the next thing I hear about is this guy took off without any money, and he got to Tobago Island, which I think is about 15 miles west of Panama.
Yes, just out there in the Gulf of Panama.
Yeah, and he got there, and the word was a Chubasco came in, and his anchor was so big and heavy, he couldn't lift it off the deck. That's, yeah, no shit, it says hurricane anchor, he couldn't get it off the deck. So the Chubasco came through, and he ran aground, and it sunk him. Hold the boat. And I have a picture of that boat at high tide. I think it was 18-foot tides there. At high tide, the water's up, you know, 3 feet up on the mast, on the mainmast. It was a catch. At low tide, it's high and dry, and you can see the holes in it sitting there.
Oh,
so I felt sorry for this guy. And this is 1967, 68. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going back and forth on this train, and I go to the Pan Canal Yacht Club on the other side. I'm looking for a ride somewhere into the Caribbean or into the Pacific. Didn't matter. But there's a bunch of military guys there, and we're drinking.
It's a drinking club.
It's a drinking club. Yeah, we're in there just getting dying, really. Yeah. And I mentioned to these guys, I had this guy I met, and he's out there on this island on Tobago and wrecked his boat, and he's just fucking out there running around on shore just trying to figure out what is next. I mean, he's just done for, right? And they go, well, I got an LST. Let's go. I'll go pick them up.
Uh-huh.
I go, you got to be kidding me. No. So they said, meet me here. You know, these two guys, they got a military, what is it? It had three propellers on it with the front loader that goes down. And,
yeah.
And we go through the canal, all the way through the canal.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, we're at Pan Canal Yacht Club. And we go all the way through the canal,
oh, yeah.
Go to Tobago Island, and here's Roger Dassault, I think his name was. Dassault, D-S-E-A-U-L-T, French, uh-huh. Dassault. Oh, yeah, he's out there. He's totally depressed. And we get there, and he's pouring gasoline over. No, man, I got a ride for you. I got a ride. And I'd already gotten a ride on the Chinese junk Chang Fang to go to Tahiti, which was a French boat, a French flag, you know. I says, I can get you a ride. So they take all his shit that he saved, put it on the LST.
Safe off of his boat.
Yeah, and leave the boat, take him back to Panama, put it on the junk. And I talked to Alex Roper. I said, well, we need it. He's the skipper of the junk. And he go, what's this? I go, no, we need another crew member, right? I mean, this guy is hard on his luck. They didn't tell me about this till we were 1,000 miles at sea. And they said, oh, by the way, we're smuggling scotch into Tahiti. We take off. We take off with to go to Tahiti. And he's a real asshole. He doesn't want to contribute anything, and he's just complaining all the time. And the whole crew hates him, and so they hate me for bringing him aboard.
Uh-oh.
That's when they stopped feeding me.
Oh, stopped feeding yeah. you, right?
Yeah, because I was responsible for this Frenchman. They all hated this Frenchman, right? So, and I have a picture of him with a towel over his head. You know, up there with the compass after the wheel broke, and we're steering with this tiller, and he's, you know, with his mustache, he's on Breer, he's just gone, he's just miserable, you know, and, he's, and all his shit's on deck, you know, we're taking him to Tahiti. Anyway, that's when the French, the cook wouldn't feed me after a while. I was skin and bones. I was 110 pounds when we got there, you know, down, I was lost 30, 40 pounds on the trip. Yeah. I couldn't eat this. There was no refrigeration. And they were, we didn't catch any fish, and I didn't like these flying fish that were flying up on deck.
You're not a fish eater. Yeah.
No. They had this squid and this flying fish were coming up on that night, and I go, oh, man, this is breakfast. Are you kidding me? I don't want to eat this.
Yeah.
But anyway, he wouldn't feed me. So we got that thing to self-steer with the 6-to-1 purchase right on the tiller, and I'd run down to the galley, get it going, sailing straight, run down here quick and mix up some pancakes, get the fire burning, put the pancakes on, run back up before it would go round and broach again. And so...
Now, you got to go into the broaching phenomenon.
Oh, we had twin cotton sails, right? And they were wing and wing. We didn't use the Chinese sails. And it was a river junk, so it wasn't made of sea junk, but it would start to turn. It would start to go around, and when it would go around, we'd yell, "We're going around again," you know, and it would just go, and both the sails would back, and it would just wear around.
360.
Oh yeah. No, this happened. This happened numerous times. This happened every day, all day, all night. Yeah.
No, how to go across the ocean?
And they wouldn't give me a berth because I brought the Frenchman on board. So I got the last. I got the piano bench thing was 20 feet long or something up there in the poop deck. And I would sit there, and then when it would go around, I would slide on my ass all the way abeam to the other side, to the lee side. And my feet would, like shock absorbers, hit the other side and go, vroom, and wake up just in time. I just could be fully awake for my feet to hit the other side and just go, whoa. And then it would slide back and I'd be awake though. Then I could catch my arms on the next one going back to the other side. And I'd wait for the next broach, you know. So one night that Chinese cook, it was his galley. You know how cooks are. Oh, get out of my galley. Mm-hmm. And he came, I came up out of the galley to get the wheel again, or the tiller, and there he was with his looking at me and going, you're in my galley. Uh-huh. And I grabbed a machete down below, a big knife thing, and I ran up the steps And he started backing up, and I put him right over the rail with this knife at his throat. And I said, you're going to start feeding me, or you're losing your head right now. I'll never forget it. And he's sitting there going, ah, no, yeah, no. So from then on, he fed me.
Well, so, I would.
Yeah. Anyway, that was more to the jump trip. But it was his responsibility to buy the spark plug for the bilge pump, right?
Oh.
He bought the wrong size spark plug. Uh-huh. So we had to pump 3 hours a day every watch. And we had to rebuild this Whaler bilge pump with tubes, inner tubes out of the scooter tires. You know, we had a Vespa on board. We had a Vespa on board, right? So we'd have transportation in Tahiti, right? So we aced the tires, man. New pieces of diaphragm for this bilge pump. Shut your recorder off. You know, you only play that when I'm dead.
Okay. Ay, ay, ay. That's what happens when old sailors get into their cups and start spinning yarns. And I have lots more of Bruce Matlack, but we really don't have room to get into it here. Instead, I'd like to make an announcement. I'd like to let you know what's going on with our Outrig project, because, well, it's time for me to plead. Yes, indeed, we've had yet another very highly qualified media person step up and offer to help us produce a video trailer to describe the Outrig project. And I don't know why they call it a trailer. I'm calling it a tractor. What Scott Brown and I really want to do is describe the background and the collection that we have made over the past 20 years of modern lightweight seafaring history, and try to raise the funds to make that stuff accessible to all. Getting all that stuff posted online is going to take some real dough, but that's not what I'm asking for at the moment. What we need is just enough dough for the tractor. Now, about a year ago, we had a guy named Michael Frierson, who is a professor of media at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. He stepped up and offered to help us try to produce a tractor. What it was a very wonderful aggrandizement of me, but it didn't say anything about the Outrig project. I realize now that in order for a supporter, a contributor, to invest in the Outrig project, he would first have to become comfortable with me, and that's what Michael was trying to accomplish. But it didn't tell the whole story. Now, just recently, we've had another man, Mr. Daniel Mydlack, M-Y-D-L-A-C-K. That's not Matlack, it's Mydlack. And he, too, is an avant-garde professor of media at a small college in Baltimore. And unlike Michael Frierson, this guy, Danny Mydlack, is a sailor. He sails a soul cat. No, it's a Prindle cat. He got to noodling around on the internet and came across our stuff and realized that we had quite a story to tell, and so he's offering to help us with it. And with great good fortune, Michael Frierson has offered to share everything that he produced with Danny Mydlack, and that's been accomplished. To send him a big hard drive loaded with video footage and all that stuff, the notes of how Michael had put his very beautiful presentation together. But he had lifted some proprietary footage off of the internet, which we understood that if we went forward with this thing, we'd have to pay for that stuff. And now Danny Mydlack has some other footage and music that he wants to buy in order to produce this tractor for raising money. Well, dang it, just to produce the tractor, it looks like we need a couple $1,000s. Now, believe me, Scott and I and Joe Farinaccio are really grateful to you who are contributing through Patreon. It's a big deal for us to get $100 or $2 a month out of this deal in order to try to meet a few ancillary expenses. But we got to have some shekels now, darn it. Scott and I have accumulated a marvelous body of material. Much of it is already archived at the Mariners Museum in Newport News, Virginia. But to use the collection, you have to go there. We have thousands of images and miles of video footage, lots of audio material. It all relates to the advent of the modern multi-hull. It appears obvious now that future nautical historians will consider that particular advent to be historically significant. It has opened up a whole new realm by which humankind explores its relationship with the sea. So if anyone would like to help us with the tractor, we'll use it to go to prospective funders. We have several prospects in order to raise the money to approach the Mariner's Museum with a fully funded proposal for a permanent multi-hull exhibit at the Mariner's Museum, our National Maritime Museum here in Virginia. And the primary feature of that exhibit will be digital online accessibility through an interactive website that really puts all these multi-hull events and this lore into context. Now, Scott and I have had some considerable financial support over the years, some $15,000 in total. Much of it has gone for travel costs, and we have spent at least that much of our own treasure in order to collect the stuff. We've had to really dumpster dive to prevent multi-hull history from going down the drain. And now that we have this extensive collection in hand and well protected, we're asking for your help to make it available to you. Most of you who are listening to me right now comprise a group of over 2,000 loyal listeners who follow these capers every week for free. If just 1% of you were to throw in about $100 apiece, we would have the resources to publish this tractor. So here's an offer. Anyone who contributes at least a C note, we will put your name on the credits screen for the tractor. And so it is with some reluctance and lots of gratitude that I'm hoping to hear from you personally and directly at my email address, outrig.org@gmail.com. Fair winds to you and the Outrig Project. Bye-bye.